there's a loving God, then why is there so much pain, suffering, and death in our world? It's one of the most asked questions we receive here at the Answers in Genesis Ministry. What does the Bible have to say about pain and suffering? Is it possible that God can use horrible tragedies to proclaim His Word and present the Gospel? In this special audio CD, Ken Ham, president of Answers in Genesis, interviews Frank and Sue Zitzman. You'll be challenged, perhaps even moved to tears, as you hear how this family has dealt with the recent terrible loss of their beloved teenage son, and how God used this tragedy to glorify Himself. Now, at the end of the CD, please continue listening and discover more about how AIG can equip you to be able to answer tough questions, including why God allows death and suffering. It's a free offer, one that we think will also help you share your faith more effectively. Now, here's Ken.
Hi, this is Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis, and I have with me today a couple of very special guests, Frank and Sue Zitzman, and they're from the Pittsburgh area in Pennsylvania, and they have a story to share with us that I believe will really touch your hearts. This concerns their son Troy, who was 17 when he was killed in a motorcycle accident, and as a result of that, the Lord has used this tragic accident in their lives in a very special way, and even though they grieve for Troy, nonetheless, they've seen God's hand in allowing lots of people to come under the influence of the gospel as a result of this tragic event. They wanted to share this with us because Answers in Genesis has been a part of their lives. It was a part of Troy's life. And they will share with you how the ministry of Answers in Genesis has enabled them to cope with this situation and open doors for them that probably would not have been opened otherwise. And so I'd like to introduce to you Frank and Sue and welcome you to the studio here at Answers in Genesis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Tell us a little bit about Troy first. How did he get to know about God, about the Bible, and why was he such an ardent creationist, as you were telling me earlier?
Well, Troy was quite a interesting young boy. I mean, when he was just a little boy, he used to ask me all kind of questions about God and everything else. But whenever Troy got into school, we got a lot of opportunities to talk to his friends about relevant subjects like, you know, where did we really come from and how old is the earth and what about the dinosaurs? All those different questions started coming up. And Troy was kind of in a position in school where I guess he was blessed with the opportunity to be able to answer those just because of literature that I've gotten from Answers in Genesis and just basically information I've got from the Bible.
And Frank, let me just reiterate here for people. Today, young people do have those questions, don't they, about the age of the earth. Evolution comes up all the time in regard to how can you believe the Bible. And that's what Troy found.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, in fact, all of my children, I have four children, and when they were in school, and they went to a Christian school, and when this subject came up, it's unbelievable that the mindset that's out there that people have developed, beliefs about the dinosaurs and different, all the different things that Answers in Genesis, those little booklets you guys put out, are just such a perfect tool to reach those people. It just addresses the very questions that they have, and I've been blessed in so many ways. My children have had a lot of opportunities, not only Troy, just to share things that I've learned that I've communicated them verbally, and then they've been able to take actual material and share it with their friends.
So in other words, Troy was brought up in a family where his parents provided him with literature from Answers in Genesis to give answers to those questions. So other students at the school, even a Christian school, didn't really have those answers, but because of the influence of this family, they were able to get those answers.
Right. And, you know, he used to wear a T-shirt. Was that from Answers in Genesis, the T-shirt?
Yeah.
About the monkey? And yeah. He was not ashamed to wear it to school. I mean, he would wear it, and he would get a lot of questions from that. Like, what is your shirt saying? And he would use that.
Troy was a boy that just loved – he just loved life, and he just wanted to have fun all the time. And I used to always think that that's all he cared about. And as he got older and just when – I started talking with people that he brought over in the conversations he had with people and stuff. The individual that we went to see, the family that that Troy had run into, they told us a story that just was, you know, really touched our hearts about how Troy had asked of one of the people that they their babysitter's friend said, "Yeah, I knew that kid." And they said, "Oh, what do you know about him?" And she said, "Well, he asked me, where am I going to go when I die?" And, you know, that couple told us that, and I'm just like, you know, you just don't realize sometimes
the influence you as a parent had.
Yeah, you just don't realize it. And I,
You were telling me about the time that Troy brought some students home. Tell us about that particular event.
Troy has a best friend, and him and Troy have just they work at a greenhouse, and they were always mentioning about they were getting talking about the Bible and stuff, and so these kids started asking questions about the Book of Revelation initially. And so his friend called me up and said, "Mr. Zitzman, Troy and I are talking to these guys, and could we bring them over tonight?" I said, "Bring them over." So they came over, and we started talking about the Book of Revelation. But I expressed to the young man, I said, "You know what, fellas?" I said, "Before you can really understand what's in Revelation, you got to know what's in Genesis." I started telling them about in Genesis about how God created the world and man. And then one of the guys said, "You know, what about the dinosaurs?" And I said, "Well," I said, "you know, the dinosaurs were created on day six." He says, "Oh, wait a minute, you know," and we got talking about the millions of years thing, and then, you know, we got talking about the Cain issue, about Cain's wife. Oh, I mean, that's what I love about the booklets that I have. It's like all the questions that came up, even if I didn't have time to answer them, I could give them that booklet, mm-hmm. and they could take it with them, and it would reinforce and just continue to educate them in their minds, at least with the reality and the truth.
Well, you know, that gives us a bit of background on Troy, a young man who loved the Lord, who was an ardent creationist and using the Answers in Genesis material to witness to others and to give answers. Tragically, on June 29, 2004, he was killed in a motorcycle accident. When that happened, and I know this might be hard for you to even answer, but did you in any way, as a result of that, immediately doubt your Christian faith, or what response did you have, sir?
Well, whenever I got the call that there was an accident, and Frank had happened to call him on his cell phone, I said that, you know, that there was an accident on Route 8 and Troy had just left and it was a motorcycle accident. And he immediately came home and I said, "We don't know for sure if it's him," but he said, "I'm going to go. I'm going to go and see if it is him. And, you know, do you want to go with me?" And I was just beside myself and I just kept crying out to God and you know, just asking God to, you know, please don't let it be, you know, Troy. But I knew that he would sustain me and I knew that he would give me the strength. So we got in the car and we went. And before we even had reached the accident scene, we had reached the officer on our cell phone. Troy's friend had gone ahead of us. And whenever he reached the accident scene, he handed the cell phone to the officer and he said, "Yes, it was your son and he's on his way to the hospital and it's really bad." And at that point, we had called our other children and on the cell phone and said that Troy had had an accident. But when we got to the hospital, I could tell you I reacted. I was ballistic. I was just screaming and I was just really, really upset. And
which is understandable from a human perspective,
right,
of course.
Yes. And anyway, the doctor came in, and first of all, I didn't even know my son's name. And he asked the nurse, he goes, "Well, what's his name?" And the nurse said, "Troy." And he said, "Well, Troy's dead." And immediately I collapsed. I collapsed in the arms of my husband. And the nurses, you know, at that point were like, "Mrs. Zitzman, we have medication for you." And in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, "I don't need medication. I knew I didn't need any kind of medication. I thought I have the Word of God." And actually a verse was running through my mind, and it's in Psalms 16:8. It says, "Therefore I put the Lord before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. My heart will be glad." And I thought, I don't need medication. I said to the lady, no, I don't need medicated. Well, at that point, our daughter, our youngest daughter, had come into the room, and she was 7 months pregnant at the time. And when I told her, she responded. And pretty much the same way I did. And I sat her down and I got on my knees and I said, "Chrissy, we have a sovereign God who, he doesn't make mistakes. We don't know why this happened. We don't, but he's sovereign." And, you know, I just went back to my foundation.
It makes a big difference when mm-hmm. you really have a love of the Word of God and you really
exactly.
believe it.
Exactly, yes. And it was going through my mind. And
doesn't mean we don't grieve and doesn't mean
we
don't even question at times, but nonetheless, you had that foundation.
Yeah, it was interesting too, Ken. I know I had our local television station did an interview with us as well, and the man asked me if there was ever a time I was angry with God. And I looked at that man and I said, "You know, sir, when you have a right theology about God, it's impossible to be angry with him." And he said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And I shared with him, I said, "You know, the God that I serve, that the Bible speaks of, is a God that knows the end from the beginning. He knows the big picture. I just know a little picture. And he owns everything. See, he's the creator and he owns it all. And when you own something, You say whenever you have it and whenever you don't. So he's the owner. He owned my child. If he so chooses to take my child from me, it was his possession, not mine. But see, if you don't have an understanding of who God is and you don't have an authority source that describes who that God is, then I can understand why people may get angry at their God. But as far as my God is concerned, the true God of the Bible, I have absolutely no reason to be angry with him because I know that he is the sovereign creator of the universe.
And with your family being brought up with these answers and knowing how to defend their faith, do you think that had a bearing on that solid foundation in your family?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, each one of my children, I've asked the ones that my three other children are still alive about that whole question about being angry. And they all know that now that we serve a God that's sovereign, he's in control, and he's the creator and sustainer of the world. So, and that, you know, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have these questions about, Sue and I.
We grieve a lot.
My goodness, I can't imagine. There's days, I mean, Troy and I did everything together. I mean, we played tennis. We hunted. I tell you, I drive home from work past a lot of the places where we used to go hunting, places we used to fish. And, it's just, the grief is just, you know, the heartache I have. To be with my son again is excruciating, but I know that I have an awesome sovereign God that's using this in a mighty way.
And you know, there are probably some people who will be listening to this who will have some sort of tragedy in their life or have been through some sort of tragedy. And I think it's good for them to hear people like yourselves who believe God's word, but who admit also that we grieve and we struggle. And we do as human beings. And, you know, I was just thinking too, Frank and Sue, that my brother Robert, you know, people would say, why would a God who's a loving God take a young man like that when he was in the prime of life as a Bible teacher? And yet, in many ways, I can look on it now, and my mother looks on it this way too, that he's ministered more to people in his death than he has done in his life through the book, Walking Through Shadows, which ministered to you and you've brought a case of and you're ministering to others and so it goes on. And really something similar has happened in regard to Troy as well. In fact, you have some exciting things to share and I want you to share some of those with us. But concerning the man that drove the car and you went to visit him, what made you do that?
Well, whenever this initially happened. We had our church, it's just a great church and a great group of people who love the Lord. We went to church that evening and had a prayer time for us. And our pastor said that the individual that ran into Troy had called the church. And they said that they'd love to talk with us if there ever a time came where we could. Well, he told me that. And my immediate response was, what's her phone number? I'll call them up right now. As soon as I got home, I called them up and they invited us over. And when I went to their home, the reason we did that is because I knew in my heart, I'm like, you know, this man, it's not like this man intentionally killed my son. I mean, it was an accident. You know, we just wanted to try to extend to them the same God's comfort that God was comforting us with. And all I wanted to do was communicate that we loved them, we cared about them. And I told his wife on the phone, I said, his wife's name was Beth. I said, Beth, you know, I just want you to know that my son is in the arms of the same God that's comforting us right now. And that God would like to comfort you. And she said to me, she said, well, I wish I could have the peace that you seem to have. And I said, you can't have that peace. Well, I said, would you like to come over and talk to you about that? Let me get my husband up. And Tim said, oh, we'd love to talk with you. So then we went over and we had a great opportunity then when we got there. I went with Stacy and Sue and Christine, the four of us went. We got there and the man was just, I mean, talk about a difference as far as where we were at and where he was at.
And we just thought it was just a good opportunity, you know, to minister to them. And, you know, when we got there, he was waiting in a driveway for us, standing out in his driveway. And I went up and I hugged him. He invited us in. And we just thought, we're just going to use this opportunity to glorify God.
How long after the accident was this?
Oh, it was like 2 days, I think.
Two days. Yeah.
When you visited them, you could tell straight away that they weren't Christians and weren't coping the way you were?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, he said he had been on tranquilizers, and they had three little girls who basically had to, you know, go to their grandma's house. She had been keeping them.
What's a very interesting thing there, Ken, this was just amazing to me. When I spoke with Tim on the phone, Tim said to me, I have a 6-year-old daughter. He says, how do I explain this to her? You know,
so a non-Christian has no answers.
Right. I'm telling you, I couldn't wait to get to his house.
Now, here's the interesting thing. When you did get there you asked him, you know, why he wasn't a Christian or didn't believe the Bible, he's a professor at a college, right? And he says what?
Well, when I asked him, I said, Tim, I said, it seems like you have such a positive acquaintance with Christianity. I said, what is it that kept you from being a Christian? Why haven't you ever considered the claims of Christ and embraced him? He said, well, I'm an evolutionist.
He just said that straight away?
Exactly.
He says, well, Frank, he says, I'm an evolutionist. I said to him, I said, you know, Tim, you have two strikes against you, because he was an English professor. I said, you have two strikes against you. I said, first of all, my son hated English. He kind of made a face, and then I said, and he was an adamant creationist. I said, so it's no wonder you and he had a collision. And it kind of broke the ice in the meeting, and then I went on to tell him, I said, you know, Tim, I just want you to know the reason he's an adamant creationist is because his dad is. And what I want to do tonight is I want to share with you why I am an adamant creationist, and I want you to challenge you and ask you to think, why are you an evolutionist or an evolutionist is the way he said it. Since that time, Tim and I, we have a very good relationship. I'm going to be taking him walking through shadows when I get back, plus the four big questions booklet, and I've already given him a bunch of other things. But he's an English professor.
He loves to read.
And he's going to be reading creation
Amen.
Books.
Yes.
What do you think of this conversation, Sue, when you heard this going on?
It was really good for us, and it was good for just our whole family. It was a healing. The only one that wasn't able to go was our oldest son. But I think it was – we left there, and we felt like we had glorified God, and that we really felt like that the Lord was going to use this, that this was going to be turned around for good.
And it's – you know, it's amazing the way God has opened doors up for us in spite of this. And it reminds me, I guess, of Revelation chapter 10 in the Bible when John talked about – when it said that John had to take the book, and when the book was the book that showed the history of the world. And it's a place in Revelation where it's given a summary of everything God was going to do in the book of Revelation. He told John to eat it, and it would be sweet in his mouth but bitter in his stomach. And that passage to me is a very apt description of what's happened in our life. Because believe me, all the opportunities we've had, I mean, the blessing it is for me to come here. I mean, I respect this ministry so much. And the thought that I could come here and just be around men of God that are determined to proclaim the truth and not compromise is a blessing to me. And there's so many sweet things that have happened through this bitter experience that we've had to endure.
About 5 weeks after Troy's death, there was another motorcycle accident. A 20-year-old was killed. And the exact same type of motorcycle, the same color, same everything, actually. And we read it in the paper, and we immediately went to the funeral home. And we, you know, introduced ourselves, and we said, we're here for you, and we know what you're going through. And they looked at us. They said they saw the article. They remember the front page just weeks earlier. And we've been able to use that, and we're just open to whatever God has for us.
You're listening to a fascinating interview featuring Ken Ham of AIG and Frank and Sue Zitzman, as this couple shares with Ken and with you how they've coped with the loss of their son in a horrible accident just a few months ago. By the way, at Troy's memorial service and in lieu of flowers, the Zitzmans asked for memorial gifts to be made out to AIG's Future Creation Museum in the Cincinnati area. And through this, God blessed us with some very special gifts. We now return to our interview with Frank and Sue, with Ken Ham asking about an AIG witnessing booklet that Frank keeps very handy.
I understand, too, that as you travel around, Frank, you carry in your pocket the Wiser Death and Suffering booklet, which comes from Answers in Genesis, of course, one of the series of booklets that has questions with answers. And, of course, that's one of the big questions. How can there be a loving God if there's all this death and suffering in the world? Tell us how you use that booklet. And you were telling me one particular story about a truck driver you met.
Oh, it was interesting. When I got those booklets, I got those 200 booklets. They sent them to me, and I thought we did a memorial service for my son. It lasted for 3.5 hours or whatever, and I figured we'd get rid of all of them. Well, we didn't get rid of all of them. Well, then I thought, well, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. I thought, well, geez, what am I going to do with all these? Well, now, all of a sudden, now I'm starting to give them to everybody I run into. Well, I was at a restaurant talking with a man after I left a restaurant. There was a fella in a truck, and he was pulling a cart that I wanted to get to haul things in. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go over and take a look at that cart. So I went over and looked at it, and I just had a little conversation with him a little bit, and I was real courteous with him, and we shook hands. I said, you know what, Bill? I said, maybe I'll talk to you again sometime. Thanks for the information about this cart. I walked back to my Jeep, and I had like I have everywhere with me now. I have those Wise for Death and Suffering laying on my dash. And I was like, oh, you know what? I better give one of these to him. I just felt like I needed to. So I grabbed one, and I was going to go over to give it to him while he pulls out of the Eaton Park's parking lot. And any time it happens to me, I just say, well, I guess the Lord doesn't want me to do it. So I was not going to go. Well, then he went over to another parking lot right across the street. I thought, well, I better go over. So I drove over, and I got out of my car, and I ran up to him. I said, hey, Bill. He says, oh, we're meeting again already. And I said, yeah. I said, well, I said, you know what? I'm back to my Jeep, and I really had a burden. The Lord laid a burden on my heart, and he kind of looked at me kind of strange. And I said, told him about my dad dying on the 20th of June, and then my son 9 days later was killed in a motorcycle accident. And that definitely brought a great stillness to the conversation right then, just saying that. And I said, you know, since that incident happened, a lot of people have said to me, why would that happen? Why would God let that happen? And this little booklet answers that question, and I just wanted to share one with you. And he didn't hesitate. He just grabbed that booklet off me. I didn't know what to think. I'm thinking maybe he was kind of a big guy and stuff. And I said, listen, I said, I don't want to be bugging you, or I don't want to be pushing myself on you or anything. I said, but I just want you to know, if you have any questions, feel free to give me a call. And he said, what's your number in this little booklet? And I said, no, it isn't. He said, well, it's pretty tough to call you, isn't it? And I said, well, yeah, I guess so. I said, you got a pen? He says, no, but I got one in my truck. On the way to the truck, this man looks at me and he said, I just want you to know something, sir. He says, you're not bothering me at all. He said, I had a sister and a brother got killed in a car accident, and my mom and father just recently got killed in a car accident. So believe me, he says, I appreciate you giving me this booklet. I left that conversation and I'm thinking, you know, all the trucks on the highway, all the people around this, and I run into this guy that has a car that looks something like mine, and now I give this booklet to him, and he's had all these deaths just recently in his immediate, you know, in his immediate family. Mm. Those kind of things, and it's amazing how the Lord's opened so many doors for me to share those booklets.
I'm just thrilled to know how Answers in Genesis has been a part of all this in helping you to be able to cope with this and providing information, providing material. I know the ministry of Answers in Genesis has been a great source of help and to you in coping with this. And of course, that's not just something that happened because of the accident. I mean, that's been a part of your lives for years. Mm-hmm. What message would you, each of you, like to give to people out there?
Well, I would just say totally put your faith in Christ and your trust in Him and lean on His Word. You know, His Word has been has had a big impact on my life. Just totally trust in Christ. You know, I just cry out to God and I say, Lord, please sustain me. It's amazing what He does.
And obviously, trusting in His Word to you is not just a blind faith.
Oh, no.
Because you know that you can defend your faith.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what's really helped us is just being able to share with others, just being able to minister. Yeah, I just keep telling myself, I'm not the only one who's lost a child. And I just know that God is, He's good, and He doesn't make mistakes, and He's sovereign. And I just keep telling myself that. And you know, when you're able to minister to others, you kind of take your problems, you put yourself on the shelf.
Right.
When you're out ministering for others and glorifying God, it's amazing what He does in your life.
You know, the first mother to lose a child was the first mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Eve.
Hey,
Cain killed Abel.
If
you think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, it reminds us what sin has done to the world. And then the reason that their child died was because we sinned in Adam.
Hmm. Yeah, the interesting thing to me, I just want to share this for sure. My oldest son, Brandon, Troy's death is what brought my oldest son to Christ.
To Christ, didn't drive him the other direction.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying, it's just to me, it's just like, you know, even when you're dealing with someone that's not a Christian, mm-hmm. the foundational nature of just the truth, mm-hmm. it has such an impact in people's lives. And I've seen that happen in my own family.
Because I know families where the opposite happens, where some tragedy comes and it drives them away from Christianity. But because of those foundational truths you'd given in this instance, it actually brought that son to Christ.
I prayed so often, and I've prayed over and over again for my oldest son when he went to the Army. I prayed because I knew he didn't know the Lord. I knew that he knew a lot of facts, but he didn't really have that relationship. And I prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, whatever it takes to bring my son to Christ, whatever it takes, do it. And in my human understanding, I was thinking, you know, he's going to get his leg blowed off or some horrible thing is going to happen to my older son. Well, that's not what happened. My younger son, who knew the Lord prior to his older brother, had to leave this world. But you know, he's in a better place anyway. But now my oldest son knows the Lord because of that. And I tell you, God answers prayers, maybe not in the way I would have preferred, but to hear my son, my oldest son, got it up at my Troy's memorial service, to hear him stand in front of a lot of people and share about his confidence in everything his dad's been saying, and just the fact that he now is a Christian. And that's just another one of the many things that's happened through all this, and it's a big one now. It's a big one.
Right.
To have my family, now that I know as a dad, all my children love the Lord. And when this happened, all this take place, I'm just so excited. I just see the Lord working in a mighty way, and it's a blessing. Even though it's a tragedy, it's a blessing. Only God can do that.
Right.
God can do that.
That's for sure.
The world can't do that kind of thing.
Well, Frank and Sue, I really appreciate you both coming here to Anson Genesis headquarters. I asked you here because I wanted this to be a special testimony from you to our supporters out there, a testimony for Troy, a young man who loved the Lord and who defended the Christian faith and loved the creation message and the Answers in Genesis material, and also because I know of your confidence in the Scripture that you have and your stand upon the authority of the Word and the way in which the Answers in Genesis material has really helped your whole family in regard to that so vital an issue. Mm-hmm. And also so that they can know that even in tragedy like this, you are witnessing to others and using Answers in Genesis materials, that death and suffering booklet, handing it out wherever you can because of a tragedy that's occurred in your life. Now you can minister to others and you can give them the right foundation to be able to answer that question. And I'm sure as we even tour through the offices here and as we tour through the museum, it would be great to have Troy here. I'm sure he would be so excited to see what's going on here. But nonetheless, I'm sure as you walk through, you'll be able to see how many other young people will be able to be brought through a facility like this. I'm sure through your own ministry, when this is open, you'll be bringing people in here to be able to say to them, hey, see, you can have that confidence in God's Word.
I talked to Troy so often about the Creation Museum, and he'd ask me all kind of questions about it. Oh, Dad, that's really going to be neat, huh? And I said, oh, that's just going to have an impact on the world. But I'm so excited about that even taking place that I wish it was done today. I mean,
we wish it was too, but in God's timing, right?
Yeah.
All in God's timing. Well, we sure appreciate you two, and you know we'll continue to pray for you, for your family.
Thank you.
You're just a great blessing to others, and what a great testimony. Hmm. And I trust that others who are listening to this will be blessed by this too and challenged. I think you've challenged all of us. What a difference it makes when you stand on the authority of the Word of God.
So, amen.
Thanks for visiting.
Thank you.
Ken Ham would like to send you a complimentary copy of his powerful witnessing booklet, Why Is There Death and Suffering? By the way, Ken began writing this booklet within hours of the 9/11 tragedy and the death of thousands in New York, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania, the home state of the Zitzmans. To receive this eye-opening booklet, just check the box on the card that was mailed along with a special audio CD. When you read Ken's booklet, you'll be comforted to know that God's Word in Genesis provides the answer as to why this world is so full of suffering, disease, terrorism, and death. The gospel is also powerfully presented, and so we truly believe that the booklet will be an effective witnessing piece for you to share with your family and friends. The booklet is free, just one way for us to express our gratitude for your supporting Answers in Genesis. Now, if you don't have an AIG envelope handy, you can request the booklet when you write to AIG, P.O. Box 510, Hebron, Kentucky 41048. Thank you for joining us in defending the Christian faith and in wanting to share answers and the gospel message to our hurting and questioning world.